Hello and welcome to The Soprano Show. I'm Gavin Bowen.
And I'm Hannibal Diaz.
Today we will be analyzing Season 6B, Episode 16 of The Sopranos, titled Chasing It. This episode aired April 29th, 2007. It was written by Matthew Weiner and it was directed by Tim Van Patten. Here's the HBO synopsis for this episode. Tony hits an unlucky stretch. AJ makes a life-changing decision. Vito's widow, Marie, turns to Tony for help with her troubled son. I didn't add anything. That's it. I think that summed it up pretty well.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. The weirdest episode, I would argue, of the entire show.
Pretty weird.
Yeah.
Number of reasons. I guess the handheld single cam.
Yes.
The whole time.
Yeah.
The whole episode. There's not a still shot.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that for whatever reason, after 80 episodes, they were like, let's just radically alter the shooting style just for one episode.
Right.
Just, we're never going to do it again after this. I mean, maybe because they realized it didn't work. I don't know. It just seems like an odd, deliberate, it's obviously very deliberate.
Right.
But it's very odd. And the lens choice, too, is noticeably different, I felt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because, you know, you typically see that kind of thing used to heighten a dramatic scene.
Yeah.
Right. You feel like by using that, you're actually involved. You're somewhat there because it's not steady. It's moving around.
Yeah.
And it heightens whatever drama is occurring. It could even be used in a way of like a surprise, like something's going to occur because of the movement. At least that's how I feel from it. And I get that like throughout the entire episode where I'm like, is something supposed to be happening right now? Like the drama of talking to Vito Jr. or just, I don't know.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, it's a technique that they've used in the show on numerous occasions previously, but just for little beats, you know, or little scenes in particular, but never for a full episode. I mean, it's really interesting, especially since it's Tim Van Patten, you know, maybe like the biggest veteran they've got. I haven't actually counted it up, but I feel like he's directed more episodes than anyone else.
Oh yeah. He has. Yeah, no, it's interesting. But this episode, and by the way, we're back. We're back for obviously those who are listening in real time. If you're listening 3 years from now, obviously this was just the next episode. But we're back. I'm married now. And that's about it.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. That's the only change.
Yeah. It was a very nice wedding.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, ladies, lady listeners, Gavin is now taken. But I don't know. Are you taking Gumar auditions?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Gumar auditions. That is a great way to start a marriage.
Allie's going to like that one.
Yeah. So The Sopranos.
Yes.
We open this episode with the guys chasing it, right?
Yeah.
With Tony. It's a good setup, really, for the entire theme of the episode. The whole purpose of it is Tony's belligerent gambling, which didn't seem so belligerent leading up to this episode. We got hints of it, right?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the obvious thing is the $200,000 that he borrowed from Hesh,
right,
which comes back in this episode. He wins some and then he loses it all.
Yeah, he is absolutely a degenerate gambler throughout this entire episode.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that they... I'll just say this. David Chase has mentioned in the past that one of the things that he really wanted to do with this show was to make every episode feel like a movie, so it was less like its own unique film, kind of. Which wasn't really accomplished, because I think that, you know, they veered away from that, trying to be more like a regular TV show, serialized storytelling. But College is an example of that very kind of contained sort of story,
right?
And this is another one,
yeah,
I feel, in which it just seems to really exist apart from the rest of the narrative. And that's kind of weird. Doesn't work as well as College did.
No, it's the lowest rating episode of this particular season.
Yeah.
This last half stretch.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Well, and then we also pick up on another storyline of Vito Jr. In a graveyard, knocking over some gravestones.
Yeah.
And wearing a lot of makeup.
Right.
And, yeah, being a hooligan.
Yeah, rebelling, trying to attract attention, trying to do fucked up shit for the sake of, like, doing fucked up shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in the next scene, Marie confronts Tony about this situation that she's in, looking for him to solve the problem. Of course, her solution would be to go off different state with $100,000 of Tony's money to help her. And this is a rare situation, right? Because it's not like Big Pussy, where you could just blow off Pussy's wife.
Mm-hmm.
All Vito did was be gay.
Right.
And, you know, he didn't do anything. He didn't rat. Right? Mm-hmm. So Tony, and Tony didn't whack Vito.
Right. I mean, that's a really important point.
Right.
That last
so
point.
So yeah. He really has to kind of take care of Marie because he's, Vito was just a casualty of war.
Yeah, exactly. And he feels guilty about what happened to Vito.
Right.
Obviously, he didn't want Vito around. He did condemn him in his way for being gay, but still, I think, regrets that Vito had to go the way that he did. Even though, if you'll remember, Tony still was plotting to take him out himself. But
right. Yeah. I mean, in the end, he had to come to that decision. And, of course, Tony doesn't have the money because he's spending it all. So he has nothing really to give her at that moment.
$100,000 is a lot anyway.
But it is a lot. Yeah, yeah, of course it is. So, you know, he'll talk to Vito Jr.
Mm-hmm. Little Vito.
Little Vito,
yeah.
Right? Who seems unreachable. But, right. You know, it's really funny to pick up on Tony walking in on Syl, who's fixing a lamp. He's like gluing a lamp back together, which has to be like a lamp that we saw Tony recently throw or something like that, I imagine.
Oh, probably.
Right?
Yeah. that's a good point. Yeah. Working on his pottery very diligently.
Very diligently. Yeah. But consigliere nonetheless. And Tony says, you know, what Marie wants. And Syl's suggestion is,
yeah, it never works. You should get him a dog.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Because previously, Marie said that Vito Jr. Strung up the neighbor's cat.
Well, that is the rumor.
Oh, yeah.
But who knows if it was actually him.
Sure.
I mean, that's pretty extreme, though.
Yes, it is.
I mean, Jesus. I'd be like, yeah, like, can we have this kid arrested?
Yeah,
right. But yeah, I think another thing that happens in this scene, right, is that Tony is complaining about Phil, you know, and saying, like, look, this is actually really Phil's responsibility.
Yeah.
Which is a point that he actually made, right, when he was talking to Marie, like, sort of hinting, Phil should sort of handle this and take care of you financially.
Right.
And I'll speak to Phil.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Again, Tony losing more money, this time on football. And, you know, he can't, something he mentions to Melfi later on, he can't really, you got to show the guys that, like, oh, it hurts. You know, but it doesn't really hurt, but it really actually does hurt.
Yeah.
And that's where in this scene, you know, he loses it on this fumble touchdown and doesn't show it in front of the guys, goes into the other room and wrecks shit up that probably Syl will have to glue back together.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's, again, it's just like a heightened, Tony is really in a spiral here right off the start.
Right. Yeah. And we've never seen him react this way. Before. I mean, we've obviously seen him gamble, but it's never been a huge deal to him until this episode.
Right. Yeah. Our character who usually spirals out of control is Christopher. That's what we're used to.
Yeah.
Because we've had seasons worth of him doing that. Yeah. This is like, where's this coming from?
Right. I mean, I guess one thing that I realized watching this episode, and I had never really thought of it, even though you're clearly meant to think about this, but the 200,000, you know, he is in debt to Hesh for 200K, which is a lot of money, you know, even for Tony. And I think that that's particularly frustrating, that he's just getting deeper and deeper in the hole.
Yeah. Well, it would be for anybody.
Yeah.
Then maybe the most awkward moment of this episode with Nancy Sinatra.
I agreed. And that's saying a lot, in which a character takes a shit on a floor. But
Yeah, this, not as awkward as this.
This is even more awkward.
Really is. Oh, God. Like, I just don't know what to say about it. Because, like, we have Frank Sinatra Jr., who just is playing poker and it's cool in the executive game. And then we just have this weird music video of Nancy Sinatra singing Phil. And it's just kind of gross. I'll be honest. I was grossed out.
Yeah. I mean, again, in an episode in which a character takes a shit on a floor.
And steps in it.
And steps in it.
Yeah.
This is a little bit more gross.
Really is. Really is. But, you know, you got to hand it to Phil. He's a smooth talker when it comes to Nancy Sinatra. Brings up her dad, says,
I saw him bring Dean and Jerry back together. I was there at the telethon. I cried.
So the one time he cried.
Yeah. It's okay to cry.
Yeah, now it's okay when Dean and Jerry are back together.
Right.
Sure. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So Phil, because Tony approaches Phil about the Vito Jr. situation, Phil says, oh, yeah, okay, I might talk to the kid.
Yeah. And he's got quite an attitude. You know, now that he's boss, the big boss man, you know, as Nancy Sinatra is saying to him, to use a word that they would use in the show. It's not a word I use, but Phil's acting a bit cunty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Say,
to Tony.
Really? Yeah. He is, I mean, it's, you know, it's big dick mafia policy, right? You know, who has the bigger dick? And right now, Phil is trying to swing a bigger dick.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's the big dick mafia policy.
The big dick mafia policy. That's a good alternate title for this episode.
Yeah. I think so.
So, and this is later that night, right?
It is.
Tony, disgusted with the whole, you know, coronation of Phil ceremony. decides to go visit Hesh and drops in. We've seen him do this before, dropping in on Hesh late at night. And sits down. He just kind of wants to vent. And this is actually really funny. He hands Hesh a cleaver hat.
Right.
Which is an unimpressive gift no matter what.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But Hesh brings up the point. Oh, actually, I was expecting you were going to hand me something different.
Right.
There's that small matter of the 200,000
right.
that I loaned you.
Yeah. And I just, things that stuck out to me, the whole hat thing, you know, he did it to Beansy as well. And Beansy was like, oh, not the DVD.
Right.
And this time around, Tony is like, oh, you were probably expecting the DVD instead.
Right. And then, of course, the joke, you know, the kind of meta joke. Oh, frankly, it's a very unflattering portrayal of Italian Americans.
Yes. The fact that Tony knows the word hubris. Mm-hmm. And how to use it.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Saying something.
Also questioning the motives of his key guys, he brings up to Hesh. Because he finds Hesh as like a sanctuary, a place of solitude to come to. Obviously, he's very happy to see Hesh until, of course, the 200K is brought up. And Tony makes the point of pushing it in Hesh's face to take the VIG.
Right.
Didn't expect a VIG. He just wanted the whole thing. But now Tony's pushing a VIG on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And kind of, you know, acting like Hesh is being an asshole.
Right.
For bothering Tony about it. And then Hesh, of course, realizes, hey, this could go down a bad road really fast. Tries to nip it in the bud. But then Tony nips it in the bud himself by saying, like, no, look, I should have been on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Take it, please. You know, we're all friends still.
Right.
So, no. Anyway.
Yeah, until he goes upstairs and complains to Renata, his girlfriend.
Or wife?
Wife, maybe?
I mean,
is he married? I don't know if he's married to her.
Yeah, probably not.
But, you know, complains. It's very funny because it's just, you know, what can Hesh do, really? He knows he's in a position of like, okay.
Yeah.
Tony didn't forget. No one forgets that amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
But what can I do? I am just Hesh.
Yeah, exactly. Hesh does not have muscle.
No.
As he will point out later in this episode,
you
know, Tony is the muscle that Hesh would call in.
Yeah.
Now he's sort of in a predicament.
Right. I think this episode, what it does do well, there are moments of this, is obviously we're, what, six episodes away, including this one, right? Five after this one?
Wait.
Yeah, this is the fourth.
Yeah,
of,
you're right.
So
five. Yeah.
So we have to wrap things up. Mm-hmm. This is a wrapping up season. We have to tie loose ends. One of them being the Melfi situation.
Yeah.
You know, Tony's been in therapy now for 6 years. He's continually gone to see her, and what has it really shown for it?
Mm-hmm.
That's where we go in this next scene with Melfi, the opening of which Tony has to say,
"You got a lot of Jews in your business, right?"
"My business?"
"Yeah, it is. You got to hand it to them. When it comes to money..."
"In my experience, that's nothing more than an ugly stereotype."
"Really?"
It's always good for Tony to just open up with a gambit like that.
Yeah.
A racist gambit.
Yeah, it's a little anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not really, like I mentioned before, he's not really admitting how much it's hurting him.
Mm-hmm.
Chasing it.
Right.
And everything. And this is where Melfi kind of brings up the you know, the terminus of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, if he's not going to show up on a regular basis to get regular treatment, she can't really continue with this whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is big for Melfi to say, really. If you think mm-hmm. about her arc, she was turned on in the beginning.
Right.
By the idea. She loved it. She fantasized about it. She, you know, lived for it. Then she got fucked up. Then it got fucked up. And she realized that it's not getting through to him. And now she's at the point where it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
And he kind of doesn't make it easy for her by calling it just like his oasis.
Right. Absolutely. Which is something that he's kind of said before
mm-hmm.
too. Like, "Oh, I just kind of come in here to hang out with you, just to talk with you."
Yeah.
And
you're
obviously
a hot woman.
Yeah, exactly. And, obviously she's, not satisfied by that. That's not fulfilling for her, especially since she sees no effort on his part to make any practical changes in his life whatsoever. He mm-hmm. just kind of wants to vent about whatever's irritating him at the moment, when he does even actually show up,
mm-hmm.
which is a big problem that she has. But he, aside from venting, really doesn't want to do anything else. You know, mm-hmm. he doesn't want to do the actual work of therapy of like, "Oh, how do I change my habits? How do I make new choices?" And she's over it.
Yeah. Yeah. We pick up on Carmela, who is in her completed spec house, where it seems like the prospective buyer is her cousin Brian and his pregnant wife. And a building inspector comes by to just make some final checks. And all I got from this was how old Hugh is. Super old.
Yeah.
The guy, like, come on.
Right.
It's too old to build houses anymore. I would be worried if I was Carmela.
I would agree. I mean, he is looking very Methuselah-like in this scene. And she gives him kind of a nervous look.
Yeah.
And he gives her a look like, who gives a shit about whatever. I mean, we know that they've had these issues in the past. We know that they've cut corners mm-hmm. a little bit. So she is concerned now that she is right, you know, at the precipice of maybe selling this house.
Right.
For good.
Yeah.
So this next scene, this is fun, right?
Right.
Phil sitting down with little Vito.
Yeah.
Over silos.
Yeah.
Not milkshakes.
Exactly. And it's just funny when you like you get an old guy and a kid in a scene together like this, the dynamic of it all, and really Frank Vincent just is great at this, because he doesn't hide like who he really is. He's talking to a kid, but doesn't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when the kid looks like this. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, he's said his piece. He's going to, you know, make a statement like, you know, you think what you're doing to your mother and your sister. You have to be a man. Be a man. Stop dressing up like this.
Mm-hmm.
Get your act together. And it just kind of goes over little Vito's little head.
Because it's such a little made up face head. But it's such a generational difference, right?
Right.
You know, Phil is coming from that generation that little Vito can't relate to and really doesn't want to. This whole idea of you have to be masculine, you have to be man of the house. I mean, this is rhetoric that meant something to Frank Vincent, to Phil Leotardo, when he was younger. right. I can assume.
Sure.
You know, that's the kind of thing where if someone said, hey, you got to act like a man, really would have shamed him into action. But times have changed.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. No one can envision little Vito being the man of any house.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. This just doesn't, not at all.
And even without the obvious issues that little Vito is dealing with. I mean, right. Just in 2006, 2007, that's just not the way
right.
suburban young kids are thinking about no. their futures, you know?
No, not at all. And we get a dinner scene at the house in the backyard. Carmela celebrating the sale of her house. Blanca still in the picture, even after having such an attitude with AJ mm-hmm. in the Cleaver premiere. But can't believe that just two people are going to fit in that giant mansion.
Yeah.
You know, again, just like highlighting the disparagement right. between the two.
She's been raising a son yeah. alone in a little apartment for years. And then Brian and wife have this mansion to move into.
Yeah.
And then this is actually, just real quick, a cool opportunity maybe to talk about just a very subtle thread, which is Meadow's like snootiness towards Blanca, which I think has sort of been there yeah. a little bit in the sure. past episodes, you know, especially like the Cleaver premiere episode,
yeah.
which I think was the first time they really crossed paths. But you could just feel it. There's a sort of like kind of quiet woman to woman, like, I don't like you. And I like sort of look down on you in a weird way, which is, you know, we wouldn't expect coming from Meadow.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But she's just not that friendly to Blanca, I feel.
She's not that friendly of a person anyway.
That's true.
So that night it rains and we catch Carmela worrying about the rain and Hugh's just really not having it. I love the mm-hmm. attitude of waking up the old man and he's just like, oh, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it anymore.
Right.
Plus, like, he built your house. Are not your roofs holding up the rain? Are you exactly. not protected from the house your father built?
Yeah.
Trust the man.
The materials haven't changed. It's just that the building codes have.
Right.
He's got a good point.
Right.
Hangs up on her, as he should.
As he should. All right. Well, Pesh, in this next scene, gets a sense that maybe he's in trouble.
Yeah.
I would say.
Things escalate here.
He stumbles in on the guys, you know, ready for lunch, ready for a game of poker at the pork store. First little comment to give him that idea is the Shylock reference.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Hesh tries to subdue everything with his own Jew joke.
Yeah.
But this, I would say, is really a threat from Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's subtle, but it is kind of a dig at Hesh, obviously.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. In front of everybody.
Yeah. And Hesh is perceptive. I mean, not like you have to be terribly perceptive to,
right.
you know, understand that you're being insulted.
Yeah.
when Shylock jokes are being thrown at you and just that whole, you know, the rent, like, kind of yeah. like, just, it's obviously just very motivated by anti-Semitism and yeah. very mean-spirited
yes.
on Tony's part. Particularly because Tony's never done this to Hesh before. You know what I mean? Any
right.
references to Hesh being a Jew, you know, have been honestly a lot more in fun. But like, this is clearly, the tone of it is different.
Right. I mean, rubbing yeah. the change together.
Right. Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously to say he's covering it up as a joke is a stretch.
Yeah.
But then, of course, they just go right into gambling.
right.
Again. just keeping at it.
Yeah. So then Hesh at home in the next scene, you know, he's got blood pressure issues now.
Literally feeling the pressure.
Yeah, literally feeling the pressure. Vince to Eli, right? Mm-hmm. His son-in-law, who we saw get run over
yeah.
quite a few episodes back. But, you know, it's just really clear that Tony's attitude towards Hesh has changed and that the money has really come between their friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love the description that Hesh gives to Eli.
You've seen how these Italians work. For the most part, it's okay. Get them cornered, you're dealing with nothing more than an animal.
What, do you think he's going to kill you now?
I don't fucking know. He's a guy called to deal with people like him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so he has no protection. He has no backing because Tony is his protection.
Yeah, it reminds me of this part in Casino. They're just talking about Pesci's character and how Pesci's character in that movie started losing a lot. He was gambling. He was in debt to all these people. And he wasn't paying it back.
Right.
And De Niro in his narration goes, what were they going to do? Muscle Nicky. Nicky was the muscle. And that's like the exact situation that we got here.
Yeah. Gambling men, back at it. At a casino, they're on a hot roll. They got a good dealer, and then she's replaced, and they're like, okay, time to go.
Right.
But then he's up and loses it all because of a horse named Meadow Gold.
Yeah.
I never understood that. Like, like if I saw a horse and its name was Gavin.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I have to. It's 2-1. I have to bet on the horse named Gavin.
Right.
Right? I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't get it at all either. I mean, I've never put any money on a horse race.
I have.
Oh, you have?
I have.
Well, you're more of like a gambler than I am. I mean, I don't think we mentioned it. You won quite well.
Yeah, it wasn't anything special.
Gavin's a bit of a poker player, just in case.
Yeah, I mean, I could hang with the crew of The Sopranos.
You could, possibly.
Possibly.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like they might intimidate you a little bit. They might be able to get in your head.
Well, yeah. Especially if I drop, you know, fucking breadcrumbs on Syl's feet and try to wipe them away. That might be a problem.
Yeah.
But he loses it all on this. And you get that sort of like, panic attack moment where everything's slowing down. Especially, I don't know if you like listen to the dialogue of the horse announcer.
Oh, yeah.
The race announcer. But as it's like, you know, slowing down and everything, he says, "Smoosh baby in the 5 spot." I just thought that was a funny name to slow it down on. Smoosh baby.
Smoosh baby. I love it.
I would have bet on Smoosh baby.
I love ridiculous horse names.
They're fantastic.
They're all ridiculous.
Hey, we just had the Kentucky Derby too.
Exactly. And there was some sort of controversy and I was sort of like, what happened?
I think the horse that won, he went off his track a bit and it disrupted other horses. So it was reviewed and he was disqualified. And so the next horse that shouldn't have won.
Oh.
It was a big.
Oh, that's pretty upset.
It was a big Hufflepuff.
Yeah. A Hufflepuff, if you will.
You will. Oh, God damn it. AJ, for the love of God, where are you, man? I don't understand where his head is.
Really? Yeah.
Proposing to Blanca?
Yeah.
What gave him the idea she was into this?
Right.
He's like obsessed on like a delusional level.
Yeah. It's an infatuation for sure on his part.
It obviously.
A little
unrequited.
Unhealthy. Yeah.
For sure.
Right.
She doesn't love him.
I mean, clearly, even though she does accept.
Oh, well,
but
sure.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you know, obviously you were just married. You know, we can talk thematically about that whole process a little bit.
Yeah.
When you proposed to your now wife, did you then have to pitch why it was a good idea?
No.
It's
no,
been
I
like
didn't.
30 seconds explaining.
Right. Now I know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
But let me just run through this little index of why we should be together forever. Yeah. No, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
Especially when you start with, you know, I just made night manager at the pizzeria.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's obviously giving him mixed signals. We can only assume that that's what it is. She doesn't want to hurt him.
Yeah.
He's a little baby.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, she's clearly pulling away. And, you know, I don't know that AJ is completely clueless. Maybe he is. But he's definitely in denial about the fact that this she does not feel for him what he feels for her.
Yeah. Well, she is hot.
Yeah. I mean, I like the dress in this scene.
Such a pig.
I have to say it.
You're
sorry.
A pig.
Whatever. Okay, so in this next scene, Tony tries to reach little Vito. And basically it boils down to exactly what Phil tried to do, the same strategy, which is you should be ashamed of yourself for not being manly enough.
It's what it does.
Man up.
Right. It does, but at the same time, Tony starts off very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if he's talking to AJ, right?
Yeah.
Because he's had a son at this age. He knows how to talk to a kid at this age. Phil doesn't, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has kids, but like Phil's very cold-blooded.
Yeah.
There's a difference between Phil and Tony. Degrees of, you know, sociopathic.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, for example, you know, he's trying to call out little Vito's behavior.
So what happened at school today?
I got blamed for everything.
The girl was developmentally disabled.
That's so funny that he's using a very PC term.
Yes.
Of Tony, right?
Yes.
You wouldn't get that from Phil.
No.
You know, he would say crippled.
Yeah. Or retarded or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, yeah, funny. And then little Vito was like, oh, were you butt buddies?
Right.
With my dad?
Right. Which you think what Tony would go off
yeah.
on that. But he doesn't. He says, you know what? I bet you actually do really miss your dad. Because at the same time, Tony's guilty for everything.
Mm-hmm.
He feels bad for the situation. And he doesn't hold sucking cock against Vito.
Exactly. You know what's funny? This just occurred to me. Does Melfi see kids?
Hmm.
Because you know what honestly would have been the right course of action for little Vito? Just honestly get him into therapy.
Hmm.
Just regular ass therapy.
Yeah.
And just have him gradually.
Sure. Everybody knows that Tony's in it.
Yeah.
So what's the big deal?
And I feel like Melfi would do a good job with little Vito.
Yeah.
But then, well, yeah, little Vito doesn't know anything. So it's not like he would reveal anything. he doesn't know.
Melfi tries to like, yeah. She's got enough from Tony. Now she can get out of little Vito. What do you know about the mafia?
Yeah.
What am I missing? Also, the fact that Tony calls him Carlo Jr.
yeah.
Instead of Vito Jr. Not only, you know, Carl, you know, there's like the Carl's Jr.
Mm-hmm.
situation, but also the fact that Carlo is the one who took over for Vito
mm-hmm.
once he's gone, and then he's calling Vito's kid Carlo Jr.
Yeah.
That has a funny play
like, right.
with it as well.
And then we also get a subtle introduction to Carlo's son in this episode.
We do.
And he will become a bit of a character.
A bit of. Yeah. Go about in pity for yourself comes up.
Yeah.
And that's really where Tony turns a corner and says, shut the fuck up, man up. I'm going to leave now.
Yeah, he just loses patience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the next scene, I felt it was very awkward because of how well it was set up. It was staged.
Mm-hmm.
We started with great excitement, two very happy people for each other, very happy. And the way that Tony turns to such a disgusting behavior to, and it shows in Carmela's face so well. Edie Falco does such a great job here. And so does Gandolfini. I mean, his obsession, like with his, we never see his eyes so wide.
Yeah.
Right? And they're so wide here because he's so obsessed with gambling that he wants to take a chunk of this newly found money
mm-hmm.
and put it on a football game that he knows is a sure win.
Right.
But still, it's so disgusting to like, as a husband, to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that we rarely ever see from Tony, I can count it on like one hand, the number of times we've seen this, is when he's just like sort of pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very pathetic in this scene.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like almost like, he just seems like a loser. And we rarely see Tony come across as a loser.
It feels very unnatural.
Yeah.
For him to do that. Yeah. Because he's so obsessed.
Right, begging her to put money on the Jets.
Right.
And, you know, she doesn't want to do it. Like, what? That's not what she does.
Yeah.
She's not a part of that world at all. And, you know, very, this will be a significant thing that'll come up later. She's like, oh, I thought that this money was really for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for me to do what I want with it. And yeah. Tony,
for
you
my
know,
security.
Yeah, for her security. And clearly Tony's frustrated, but, you know, lets it go.
Right. For now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, very funny how Hesh reacts here to Tony's visit. Does he really think Tony is personally going to come to his house in broad daylight
yeah.
and rough him up or, at worst, kill him over this?
Mm-hmm.
I guess Bobby is kind of intimidating.
Well, yeah. I mean, I actually like this. This is another little subtle thing that happened. Not a big deal. Not important. But you can clearly see that, sorry, I'm blanking on his name, the guy that plays Bobby.
Steve Sharipa.
Yeah, Steve Sharipa. made a choice to play the character slightly differently post committing his first murder. So since we haven't really seen him since then.
Yeah.
And in this episode, he's just a little bit harder. He just seems a little bit more hard.
That's
right?
True. Like the reaction of, you know, Christopher saying, hey, Tony put 25,000 on this horse. And he's like, cool.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
What? I'm excited.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we kind of get that in this scene.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of cool that it was like just this very small thing, but clearly he put some thought into it, how Bobby would be different after right. killing. And he is different.
It would be a good question to bring up to him.
Yeah.
We don't have him lined up. I'm just saying.
No.
If you want to hear him, you can go hear him on No Fucking ZD.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, costume choice too. Noticeable.
And leather
they're
jacket,
like all black
leather, yes.
Yeah, like they're wearing like the leather jackets.
They got the
and
whips
stuff.
And
the... right.
Oh wait, no, that's a different scene.
Not quite.
Yeah. So, and then right, it's a quick turnaround in the car with Tony after he gives him the vig.
Right.
Just bitching, just complaining about the fact like I come all the way out here to bring him out to see a boat. It's all legitimate. Like it wasn't used as a threat.
Yeah.
Like he really wanted to take him out to see a boat.
Now his feelings are hurt.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really funny thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Bobby suggests, right? Not paying Hesh back.
Yeah. More tough guy Bobby.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't pay him back. Fuck him.
Right.
And Tony actually contemplates it, but it'll look bad if people knew. And Carlo's like, well, we won't tell anybody. And then great moment here where Tony is just like, hey, you're not sucking enough cock. Because Vito was sucking cock and he's bringing a lot more money.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the problem is. If you need to start sucking cock, maybe you should start sucking cock.
Right. And Carlo is chastened. He picked the wrong time to start talking, you know, Twilight Zone trivia. And I love that response from Tony. Maybe you need to stop watching a little less TV Land.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Ugh. But yeah, we can see Tony's continuing to just unravel. He's really upset about all of this. You know, just the money and the Hesh situation and the gambling not going well. We see him further unravel and really kind of just go into a nosedive in this next scene. Sees that the Jets crush the Chargers.
Right.
Carmella comes in. Tony's pissed. And she's like, wait, but you won. That was what you said was going to happen. And he's like, well, I didn't bet enough. So I didn't really win.
Right.
I lost all that money that I could have bet, you know?
Right. Yeah, the absolute worst of Tony here.
Yeah.
You're put in another rare situation, I'd say, where you're finding, you know, our favorite character, the lead, our anti-hero, being the worst human being ever.
Right.
Like, being downright, like, I would even say what he says here in this scene, all everything that he does, is borderline comparable on, like, different parallels to, now that I'm thinking about it, it's not... that comparable to Ralphie kicking the shit out of a pregnant stripper.
I really was like, is Gavin going to say that it's like when Ralphie kicked the shit out of a pregnant stripper and beat her to death?
I went there.
Yeah, you did.
I did. Well, let's just look at it. All
these mean words to Carmella are tantamount to that.
Well... Okay, they're not to murder. You're right. But, you know, we get the bird feeder situation again. He's spiraling out of control. He's even losing his voice.
Yeah.
Like, Gandolfini is so committed here that he's forgotten all voice lessons that he's ever taken as an actor. And losing his voice, they move it into the atrium. What do you call that? The space that is in front of the door. An atrium?
Yeah. That staircase area.
He says the most despicable thing, where he says,
fact is, you're a shitty businesswoman who built a piece of shit house that's gonna cave in and kill that fucking unborn baby any day, and now you can't sleep.
And it's especially from Tony, who is sensitive to small children, babies. That's a horrific thing to say. It's like he's on heroin right now, beating exactly. the shit out of Adriana. Like, it's yeah. it's similar to that.
It's so funny because, yeah, I have a little link with that situation that I'll bring up later. Just to, it's like a subtle thing, but you're completely right. I mean, Tony is so completely out of control here in a way that we've really never seen him. Also, camera just really going crazy with the shaky.
It is.
Paul Greengrass born identity situation.
But this is where you would expect it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's an intense scene
right.
with a lot of movement.
Yeah.
She throws a fucking vase at it, like yeah. a statuette like thing, and
yeah, the Yardro or whatever. I just remember that.
Maybe it's
whatever
the Yardro she throws yeah. at him. Yeah. So you expect it there, but it is right. all over the place.
Traditionally, you would only have the handheld shakiness in this one scene.
Right.
Here it does fit.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, he's really reaching for the most cutting, most vicious, mm-hmm. most I can't unsay what I'm saying
right.
type of insults that he possibly can.
Right.
And yeah, Carmella flees crying after she throws the thing, not at him, but in his direction.
Yes. Yeah. And then we get that less awkward scene.
Yeah.
In the shower. I would note he's cleaned up his look.
Right.
I know he's just been in PE, but he hasn't taken a shower yet.
Yeah.
His hair's down. His makeup's off. So either the school's like, well, you can't wear that to school.
Mm-hmm.
Or Tony got through to him in a way. I like to believe that Tony got through to him.
Well, I think so too, because, and I think that dramatically it's a strong choice mm-hmm. to sort of emphasize a bit of a tragedy here.
Yeah.
And that maybe he was beginning to turn around, but then these bullies are like, you know, really mean to him.
Yeah.
With, you know, the gay jokes and everything like that. And then his response is creative, I would say.
Do you know what the word is for what he's doing?
No, what's the word?
I thought you were just going to say shitting.
yeah.
I mean, it is that. But yeah. It's called encopresis.
What?
Yeah, encopresis.
Wait, how do you even, like, what is the...
I know this from yeah. my psych minor mm-hmm. in college. Encopresis and I think it's enopresis. Encopresis is the voluntary or involuntary loss of feces
mm-hmm.
Through... traumatic stress.
Oh.
So when somebody's going through like a psychological
mm-hmm.
Dilemma, mm-hmm. One of their reactions is, to poop. Wow.
That either long word you just said.
Encopresis.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Education.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, kind of taking this discussion just one notch lower from where you were.
Okay, yeah.
I really found myself just dwelling on how they made that prop shit.
Yes. Yeah. It was near perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, the sound effects.
Right.
We can't have a Sopranos season without some sort of fart sound.
Right.
Oh, we got some good ones here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they were
yeah.
ripe.
Awful.
Anopresis, by the way, is wetting yourself or peeing.
Oh.
Intentionally.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's slightly more common.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually known people who have suffered that.
Mm. Intentional peeing?
Oh, intentional? No.
Like voluntary?
Oh, no. You're saying it's voluntary. Yeah, I guess I was thinking involuntary.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, people who
Your favorite
like,
movie?
My favorite movie.
A Star is Born.
Ah! I was like, wait,
that's
where
right,
is
folks.
He? Yeah.
That's right. Hannibal's favorite movie.
A Star is Born is not my favorite movie.
Of 2018?
Yeah, I would say of 2018.
Wow, on the record. I got him.
I mean, come on.
I got him.
It was a good film. Oh. You disagree.
Yeah, I
We'll have
it.
To discuss this in another podcast.
We'll have our Stars Born podcast.
We should, actually.
Don't give people ideas. Like Dina. Don't give her that idea.
Yeah,
She'll push for it.
Take it and run with it. I mean, we actually could. That could be a cool podcast where, like, I convince you. And make the art...
Oh, sorry. That was my phone.
It just really exploded.
It did.
In protest against the Star Wars board. But yeah, I try and make an argument for a movie that you don't like.
And
make an argument for a movie that I don't like. But I feel like there'll only be like three episodes of that because we're pretty united in our taste for
consistent,
the most part.
Yeah.
But anyway, moving on.
Right. Where are we? Oh, yeah, we're at Vesuvio now.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No Artie in this scene.
No,
which
no,
I
no,
noticed.
No.
I missed Artie. I was hoping we'd get a little Artie.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, Tony is kind of focused on let's make sure the work is getting done because mm-hmm. obviously we're losing money and we need to make sure money is still coming in.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody feels bad for Vito's sister, Francesca, right. Who was not, you know, it was not her fault that she was put in this situation. And again, Tony defends Vito, right? By saying, so he sucked a cock.
Yeah.
And you get that reaction from Polly and Christopher, and it's like, okay, yeah, but he did suck a cock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't suck cocks.
True.
Right?
I mean, they're making a valid argument.
For their society, yeah, for their boys' club.
Yeah, from their point of view.
When you're in a boys' club, you don't suck a boy's cock.
Well, it depends on the boys' club. There are many boys' clubs in which you suck many cocks.
Okay.
But for their
when we
boys
say
club,
boys, we mean 18 or older.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. anyway, moving on. We get a sense of Tony's, you know, sense of honor, I guess. You know, he does feel like it's important. Certain things are just, you know, part of Tony's positive old school nature.
Right.
Like, he's not going to renege on, you know, the debts that he owes Hesh. He'll complain about him, but he's going to pay Hesh off. You know, this horrible position that the Spatafores are now in, Tony feels like, you know, he owes it to the memory of Vito to provide in some way.
Mm-hmm. And he will not let it down that Phil didn't come through.
Right. Right.
Makes a very big point of that.
Yeah, because, you know, Phil did kill Vito.
That's true.
He should do something.
That's true.
Yeah.
Here's where AJ has reached the pinnacle of stupidity.
Oh, right.
Driving around with Blanca's kid in the car with Puerto Rican flags adorned to his car.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking in Spanish to this little boy and then being dumped as a parade playing La Vida Loca plays in the background.
So, okay, assuming that this is just a funny thing to bring up, Puerto Rican Day Parade, I think we can assume.
Yeah.
Okay, so that means we got a bit of a time jump because...
Oh.
The Puerto Rican Day Parade takes place in New York City in June every year.
Uh-huh.
We've had a lot of NFL scenes.
Okay. Okay.
So, in this episode,
okay,
right?
But they're in New Jersey, yes or no?
No, in this scene, I believe they're in New York City.
Are they really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, during this parade.
Wow.
So, you know, just a little bit of a, it was, you know, NFL issue. Does not happen in the summer.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
So we jumped over spring, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh, good. Good catch. Yeah. Good catch. I did find it funny, though, that, you know, AJ is living La Vida Loca.
Yeah.
And that's playing in the background as he's getting dumped for being crazy to think that Blanca is ever going to be with him.
Right. Sad.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
Sad, pathetic, whatever.
I mean, I actually was thinking also about this breakup tactic from Blanca.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of like, that's a pretty cold way to break up with someone.
Drop off their clothes?
Yeah, just be like, just abruptly, here's your ring, and I don't love you. Sorry.
Yeah. I couldn't help but think, how did they get parking?
Yeah. I actually thought that too.
Yeah.
I was like, New York City during the Puerto Rican Day Parade? I don't think so.
Nah, not happening.
Oh, okay. So this actually makes the time jump even more ridiculous. Now, everything I'm saying is invalid if that wasn't supposed to be the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Sure.
In New York City.
Sure.
But let's just assume it was.
Right. Because
now we're back to talking about NFL.
Right. Not basically. Only that, yeah. But Vito Jr., Little Jr. See, I keep saying Vito Jr. You keep saying Little Jr.
Little Vito.
Fuck, I can't. I said it again. He's in school.
Yeah.
Not in June.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right?
True.
Okay. So, yes, back to football.
Yeah.
Good for you is what Syl says to Tony, placing all 100K
mm-hmm.
on a football game that should be going to Marie.
You know what is so funny too? I mean, maybe talk to me if I'm ever a multi-millionaire, but I feel will. Like no matter. Oh, thank you.
I will talk to you. I'll be like, hey,
yeah.
Can I have some of that million? That's how pathetic I will be.
Oh no. And you know, if you were really that down on your luck, I would, you know, give you a little bit of a handout.
Oh, wow.
But like, I just think
here's a gift card to Jersey Mike's.
That's probably as good as it would get, honestly.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
And then I'd be like, away with you, peon.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So I just feel like I would never put $100,000 on a game.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's obscene.
Right.
Because, of course, he's not going to give the extra to Marie.
Yeah.
He needs that for Hesh.
But it's just his desperation. You know, it just speaks right to his sort of pitiful desperation. And he is a true degenerate gambler, which is a phrase that they use throughout this series.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I liked was seeing Chris. You know, of course, Syl is enabling. Syl knows it's not a good idea. But he also knows more than that, that it's not a good idea to, like, tell Tony to kind of like pull back on the reins of the gambling.
Right.
But we get this look from Chris where he's shooting pool. When Tony says what he says about, I'm going to put the 100,000 on the, you know, the game.
Yeah.
Chris is just like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
but he's exactly not going to like say anything. And I also think, and this kind of speaks to a point that you sort of raised earlier, Chris is like in his head, I know something about addiction.
Yeah.
And you're acting like an addict right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I have to point out the line, the dialogue between Syl and Tony here at the end when Syl is, you know, is like, oh, I commend you for that. You know, he says,
yeah, good for you. Because Carlos said that kid went to the litter box and ate some cat shit.
No, he took a shit in the shower.
Glad we got that straight.
Yeah. This was going to be my favorite line, and then I realized that there's actually a line earlier that I like
a little better.
More.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's hilarious. And so yeah,
Tony placed the bet.
Right.
Lost the bet.
Right.
And has to break the news to Marie. And yeah. I think, you know, Lorraine Bracco's sister here does a very good job, you know. I don't know if we're going to see Marie Spadafore after this, but you know, her last moments here shock and like dismay in the whole situation to even suggest these kind of hard love camps.
Yeah.
You know, is a tough pill to swallow, and she does thank him, and he feels pretty gratified, and at least he could do something.
Yeah. I mean, I like specifically too that he's like, it cost $18,000, but don't worry, I'll cover it.
Yeah.
And it sort of just rubs salt in the wound in a way that she asked for $100,000 and he's like, I'll take care of $18,000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For sure. Quick shot here, Tony visiting Carlo at the pork store. And we assume, as you have stated.
As I have spoiled.
Yes, it's Carlo Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, Carlo, I mean, that's not actually his name, but
no,
I forget.
Carlo Jr.
Oh, it is Carlo Jr.?
No, I
haven't. No, okay, no, I don't think so. I think his name's something else, but we'll get to it. I think it's Jason or something. But anyway, there's just this guy standing there. So it's more setup, because we've had for a while now this setup that, like, Tony is having problem gambling issues.
Right.
And it really comes to bear in this episode. And yeah, we get this young man. Mm-hmm. We don't know who he is, but he is Carlo's son, who will become, like, as I said, a bit of a character in the next few episodes.
And back in the car, Tony sees another thing that we've been setting up for God knows how long.
Yeah.
Either Muhammad or Ahmed.
Right.
One of them going into a mosque, maybe, or just hanging out with other Muslims.
Yeah.
Which is suspicious.
Suspicious to Tony.
Yeah. I don't know about all those garbs they're wearing.
I mean, I don't want to give anything away at all to people who haven't seen The Sopranos and don't know how it ends. But, you know, never mind. I was just going to say.
Tony finds Osama bin Laden?
No, I was just going to say it would have been great that, like, the last scene of this entire series is, you know, Tony's just minding his own business and then just gets blown up. By fundamentalists.
Wow.
And then that's the big payoff.
Damn.
That doesn't happen, you guys. Don't worry.
I mean, that would make more sense, I guess, than what we're witnessing.
Perhaps.
But there it is again. Just like, okay, this is this still being set up?
Yeah.
I guess so. Right. Vito is dragged away in the next scene, kicking mm-hmm. and screaming
oh,
with Marie
yeah.
in tears and Francesca in tears. These guys are pretty, it is pretty scary though.
Mm-hmm.
Just these guys taking your son away and they're like, everything's going to be all right, Mrs. Spadafore.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I like that he mispronounces the name.
Right. No, they're, well, because they're like Hicks from Idaho or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, it's psychotic. Yeah, it's pretty awful. Like I said, send them to Melfi. Like, why not?
Why not?
Yeah, that would have been much better, but just not sophisticated.
It's a slower process, though. It is. Therapy, yeah. Well, Tony loses yet again and has to confess this to Carmela. And this is a very important scene, I feel.
Absolutely.
Because, like I said, we're tying up loose ends. How is this whole thing going to end in 5 episodes after this? Mm-hmm. And she really, you know, kind of lays it out. Like, she is panicked. She doesn't know how their life is going to turn out because mm-hmm. he already has been shot. So the options, again, have been presented to us through many seasons. Option A, he's shot and killed. Option B, he goes to the can forever. There is option C, that he lives a long and healthy life and is never caught. But of the three, that is rather rare.
Yeah, the least likely.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's one of the two like overriding themes. I think we can talk about it now in episode 4. That, what you just voiced, is like a major theme that kind of runs through the episodes, at least up until now. And then also, I think that we have Tony sort of pushing away someone who's very close to him in a cruel fashion.
Right.
And in the first episode of this season, it was Bobby. Second one, it didn't quite happen, but Johnny Sack did die.
Mm-hmm.
Third episode, Polly.
Yep.
This one, Hesh.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, and even in this episode, Tony was like, you know, I'm questioning all the top guys around me. And so you see that as sort of an overriding thing that happens here in these final 9, I guess.
Yeah. But he does come to the conclusion, hey, look, I did actually survive a bullet. And that kind of chance is very rare. Mm-hmm. So if anything, I'm up big.
Yeah.
Because I won the best, like the worst odds possible. I beat those odds. So, you know, when it comes down to it, the money's not that important. And that's his conclusion, really. That's kind of how he maybe breaks the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Through this discussion with her.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
We can only hope. But yeah, really brings that to a close. Tony being a good guy here.
Right.
Apologizing.
As best he can.
Yeah. And yeah. Carmela's a bit nonplussed by this rationale.
Yes.
But let's talk about someone who's unlucky.
Yeah.
In this next scene.
This was just kind of out of the blue, right? This poor Hesh. Wakes up and he had been sleeping next to his dead wife the whole night.
Right. And see, and you know, this is a very small point, but the question was, hey, is Hesh married to Renata or not? And in this scene, it seems like they're married.
He does seem like he loves her, obviously.
Right.
And the loss of her and, again, like any good writing, there's a lot of good, like, surprise
mm-hmm.
in just the smallest scene. Get Hesh coming out of the bathroom saying, that was me, not a fireboat. You know, and you're like, ha ha ha, Hesh.
Right.
Oh, fuck, she's dead.
Yeah.
And it becomes super sad super quick.
Yeah.
And yeah, for Hesh, that's for the actor, is very meaty.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to, you know, use your acting chops, as they say.
Yeah.
And then Tony pays his debt.
That's right.
Which, yeah. You know, obviously it's a good thing. And if you're Hesh, so you're like, oh, wow, that's great, especially at this time. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, it feels like the worst time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like now you're just paying it back because I'm in a terrible situation.
Right.
Which seems kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
But he does pay it back. And I kind of like the exit of it because he's like, it's almost... Hesh doesn't have a plantation, but the house is very colonial.
Yeah.
And he's in just this like big suit. It looks like some Southern lawyer. Like,
yeah,
I just settled a deal. Now we got this music playing and I'm boss man.
Right. Well, I didn't go that route with it, but I like that interpretation.
You should have gone that route.
Yeah.
What was your interpretation?
Just that he's happy that Hesh got his.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, you bothered me about Vig and my debts to you? Well, look at you. Your partner died.
You stupid fuck. Look at you now.
That's what you get. Now she's dead and fuck off. Here's your money in a Bloomingdale's bag.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all. But that's the end of the episode. You know, I would say, you know, for the worst episode of the season, we did a pretty good job on it. I'd say. Pulled out some good bits. Hopefully you enjoyed it. But that does it for this episode of The Soprano Show. I'm Gavin Bowen.
And I'm Hannibal Diaz.
Join us next week. But until then, if you like the episode and like the podcast, please support it by subscribing, telling your friends, going on iTunes there, leaving a star review, liking us on Facebook and Twitter at The Soprano Show. Join the conversation. But like we do with every episode, we end with our favorite line. My favorite line was between Phil and Lil Vito, when it's right at the top, Vito's on like his second sundae, and Phil says,
you know, I didn't come out here just to buy you a couple of sundaes.
It's a silo.
I don't give a fuck what it is. The hell's wrong with you? Look like a Puerto Rican whore. Make me sick.
Tough love.
Yeah.
It's tough love, and I like it.
I like it too. I would love to be able to say something like that to someone one day. You know, I'll have my chance, I'm sure.
Yeah.
At some point.
I'll let you say it to my kid.
Okay, good.
Cool. If I could say it to your kid, you could say it to my kid.
Okay, definitely.
And then hopefully one day they find out that we both said it
right
to them. That'd be great.
I like this pact that we forged here in 2019.
Like your kid would be like, hey, I just want to tell you this, but like, your dad once told me I looked like a Puerto Rican whore, and I didn't really understand it. And then my kid's like, holy shit!
Yeah.
Your dad said that I look like a Puerto Rican whore.
Right.
One day.
One day. We can only hope.
Yeah.
My favorite line came from Tony. I just thought it was really funny when Tony says to Hesh,
I look at my key guys, Paulie, Christopher, my brother-in-law. What's number one on their agenda, you know? They're all fucking murderers, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. I also found that, like, obviously Hesh knows that.
Yeah.
Right? He knows the world that he's involved in. But I felt like it was such a blatant, like, admittance of guilt of his entire crew.
Yes.
That just felt like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Fuck. Like, he's never said that before to anybody.
Yeah.
Out loud. I hang out with murderers.
Right. I mean, it's just a weird moment in a very weird episode. Like
very
I said,
weird episode.
I would argue this is the weirdest episode maybe of the entire series. And that's saying something when we got the test stream.
Yeah. Test stream.
Others. But the test stream is weird.
It is.
But yeah, there we go.
All right.
Chasing it.